I'm going to use this mic tonight, Eric. I'm not going to use the one that goes around my ear. I just want to say thanks to Evelyn, too, for the testimony she shared tonight. I've got to tell you that, the whole time that Evelyn was suffering with her cancer, when she was able to be here in church, she was here. Not only was she here on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, but, you know, she came out with Sheldon on Thursday nights to pray for revival. If anything spoke to me so powerfully in that whole time, was here was the woman who was falling apart physically with cancer, and yet she was still coming to pray in this church on Thursday nights for revival. That spoke volumes to me. I just praise God for what He's done in your life, and I just thank the Lord. He's been gracious and kind. You know, God doesn't always heal people. We know that. But when He does, we need to thank Him for that. We need to praise Him. So what I want to do tonight is I want us to look at a passage of Scripture in the Gospel of Luke, just for a few minutes. Luke chapter 17. I want to read just a few verses there. A real powerful illustration of the need we have to thank God for His goodness. Luke chapter 17. I want to read verses 11 to 19. I just want to take a look at something that I've entitled, Where Are the Other Nine? Luke 17, beginning at verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, Go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Let's just ask the Lord to bless our time together. Father, thank you and praise you so, so much. We've sung some hymns here tonight about how great you are, Lord. And we need to praise the Lord, the Almighty Father. We just want to glorify you for your greatness and your kindness and your goodness towards us, especially, Lord, in giving us your Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Father, as we take a look at your word for a few minutes, I pray that by your grace you would stir up our hearts. I pray that you would teach us a very valuable lesson that we can all leave here with tonight as believers in Christ, of how we need to respond to you when you do great things in our lives, Father. And, Lord, we leave it all in your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. I once read a parable about a man who found a barn where Satan kept some of the seeds that were ready to be sown in the human heart. And there were seeds of discontentment, seeds of hatred, and seeds of anger and bitterness and jealousy and envy, seeds of greed and prejudice and lust and murder, and there was even some seeds of discouragement. And those seeds could be sown almost anywhere in any type of soil. And when the devil was questioned as to where the seeds might not grow, the parable says that he answered in this way, they will not grow in the heart of a grateful person. They will not grow in the heart of a grateful person. In Luke 17, we find a story that deals with the absence of appreciation. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus encountered a group of 10 men, and each one of those men was suffering with the disease of leprosy. And in response to their cries, Jesus miraculously cleanses them all of their condition. But the story ends on a very sad note. Only one of those 10 men ever returned to offer his thanks to what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for him in his life. And when Jesus saw that lone worshiper come back, he asked this question, Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this Samaritan? You know, the story is told about a man who was lost in the woods. I don't know if you've ever been lost before, but this guy was lost in the woods. And later, when he was describing his experience, he told of how scared he was, how frightened he was, and how he finally knelt down and decided to pray. And somebody asked him, Did God ever answer your prayer? And the man says, No, He didn't. Because before God had a chance to do that, a guy came along and showed me the way out. Now, like that man, there are so many people who are blind to the many blessings that God has daily showered upon them. They don't see God's blessings, and therefore they don't feel compelled to thank God for His blessings. They like what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1, verse 21, where he says, Although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. They take so much but they give so little. I remember one time Tatiana and I went to the mall up in Peterborough, and I forget what Tatiana was doing, but I was waiting for her someplace, and I was sitting in the food court, and I'll never forget this for as long as I live. I mean, I've seen it happen 1,000 times, but this one particular day, it just struck me. I saw a man go to order his food, and I'm sitting down waiting for Tati, and the man comes back, he sits down, he's got his plate before him, and he starts to gorge himself without even giving thanks for the food. And I mean, I'd seen that 100 times before, but God spoke to me and said, here's this guy receiving this blessing from God. The very fact that he can eat some food, he doesn't even acknowledge that it came from God. Didn't even thank him for it. I mean, they take so much, but they give so little. Although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. So as we study this text before us tonight and the cleansing of these 10 lepers, we're being challenged to be one of those people who remember and who never fail to forget to thank God and to praise God for all the goodness and the kindness that he's bestowed upon us, that he's done in our lives. You know, far too often you and I are only taken up with the gift, but we forget the giver. We're so quick on prayer, but we are so slow on praise. And this whole story revolves around the grace of God and the need we have to thank Him for His grace in our lives. There are 3 points that I want to quickly draw out. First of all, the grace that was essential. Secondly, the God that was exalted. And third, the gratitude that was expectant. So first of all, I want you to think with me of the grace that was essential. Now the picture here, the scene is Jesus is passing through Samaria. And as he entered into a certain village, the Bible says in verse 12 and 13 that 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Now the greatest need that these men had other than their salvation, the greatest need that these lepers had in their lives at that moment in time was a need for God's grace in their lives. Verse 12 tells us that these men were lepers. Now, in Bible times, there was no disease that was regarded with more terror and with more fear than leprosy. Leprosy was a dreadful disease. It was defiling. I mean, the disease started with a person starting to feel a little bit tired. And for no known reason, he'd start to feel weak and his joints would start to ache. And then he'd start to see these little white spots appearing all over his skin. And those little white spots would then become very hard. And they would turn from white to pink and then to brown. And they became very scaly. And then they began to spread all over the man's body. And they would afflict his face first. And his appearance would begin to change. These little spots would, these brown scaly spots and wrinkles would start to fill his face up. So he'd start to look a little bit like a lion. And then those sores would start to turn into these little ulcers. And they would become filled with this putrid pus. And they would start to burst. And the pus would run all over the man's body. And the odor that would come from that pus would be unbearable. I mean, those sores would... It was a terrible stench. Nobody could stand anywhere near this guy because of the smell that came from him. And the sores would continue to spread all over the man's body, consume the whole body until the man became nothing more than a pool of slime. His hair would start to turn white. His eyebrows would begin to fall out. And inch by inch, the man's body would begin to rot away. His fingers and his toes would slowly fall off. And as he would walk, he'd leave these wet spots all over the place because of the pus that was oozing out of his body. Now, you just picture the scene of what it was like for a leper in Christ's day. And leprosy also attacked the person's nervous system to the place where the man would lose all sense of pain. And so a leper might accidentally put his hand into a fire and burn himself so badly, but he wouldn't feel a thing. He might step on something that was very, very sharp, and he wouldn't even realize he did it. An infection would start to creep into this man's body because he didn't know that he was doing things that his body shouldn't do. And the disease lasted for about 9 years, and then the man would eventually die, or the woman would eventually die, just this pile of corruption. I mean, it was a terrible disease, a horrific disease. That's why we read in Luke chapter 17, they stood at a distance. I mean, the victim of leprosy not only suffered physical problems and physical pain and physical suffering, but they also suffered this social isolation that went hand in hand with this terrible disease. When a person had leprosy, they were banished from society. They were rejected from being anywhere near other people. They were cast out of their villages. They couldn't have any kind of communication with anybody else who didn't have leprosy. Some of these people had families, they had husbands, they had wives, they had children, they had parents, they had brothers, they had sisters. They were cast out. They were just thrown away from all these people. So not only were they suffering physically with all these ulcers that were just pouring out this slimy ooze out of their bodies, they were alone. Socially rejected by everybody around them. Social outcast. It was unlawful for a leper to come within 50 feet of a person who wasn't suffering from leprosy. And if it was a windy day, that distance moved to 200 feet away. And at the beginning, most of the families would bring food and clothes to these people. They'd leave them someplace and the lepers would come and pick them up. But after a while, the family would just decide to have a funeral service. They treat the leper as though the leper was dead. The leper was on his own, all by himself. And the leper would have to tear his garments as though so that everyone knew that he was suffering from this disease of leprosy. And every time the leper saw somebody coming near him, he'd have to cry out in a loud voice, "Unclean! Unclean! Unclean!" So that you knew not to come anywhere near him. And as soon as you heard those words, "unclean," the people would respond by picking up stones. They would hurl them at these lepers to push them away, just to get them out of their sight. And so in Bible times, there was no disease that was regarded with more terror, with more loneliness, with more fear than the disease of having leprosy. So you get an idea of what these 10 men were experiencing in their lives. I mean, the suffering that they were going through, this painful ooze that was coming out of their bodies, just shunned by society, shunned by their families, treated as though they were dead. Nobody cared for them. Nobody loved them. There they were suffering on their own. They had to try to make it on their own. They were horribly despised and shunned in Christ. Now, let me just say this about the disease of leprosy before we move any farther. In Scripture, leprosy is more than a disease. It's also a real picture and type of sin, isn't it? I mean, none of us in this room tonight are suffering from the physical disease of leprosy, but we're all suffering from the leprosy of sin. I mean, there's no disease in the Word of God that pictures sin more clearly than the disease of leprosy. I believe that. I mean, Leviticus 13, we're given the regulations for diagnosing and dealing with leprosy. And I want to point out five similarities that exist between leprosy and sin very briefly before I move on tonight, because I do need to just speak about the gospel of Christ here for a second. First of all, leprosy is a disease that goes much deeper than the skin. And the same is true with sin, isn't it? Sin goes much deeper than simply the outward acts. Jesus talks about how sin begins in the heart. He says, "It's out of the man's heart that come evil thoughts and lusts and greed and anger and wrath and murder." We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. We've got a depraved human heart. And that's why the gospel of Jesus Christ is so glorious. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ deals with the heart, the depraved heart of mankind. God changes our hearts in the gospel. You see that so clearly in Ezekiel 36, where the gospel is being prophesied. Just turn there really quickly. Ezekiel 36. Let me just read a couple of verses and I'm going to move on. Ezekiel 36, beginning at verse 25. Says this, Ezekiel 36. The Lord says, the Lord speaking, "I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols." Now he says this, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." That's the gospel. Isn't that glorious? I'll take out the heart of stone. I'm going to give you heart of flesh. I'm going to put my spirit within you to move you to obey my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So leprosy and sin is something that goes so much deeper than only leprosy and sin, so much deeper than only the skin. It's something in the heart. Number two, leprosy starts out small, but then it spreads. Again, the same is true of sin, right? In the same way that the leper may have seen this little white spot appear in his body and all of a sudden it just covered his whole body, that's the same with sin in our lives. I mean, sin acts in the very same way. You open the door just a little bit to sin, it's not too long before sin takes a hold of your whole life. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, "Do you not know that a little yeast leavens a whole batch?" That's what sin does. It destroys us. You think of the sin that flowed out of King David's adulterous look. The sin of adultery and the sin of murder. Number three, leprosy defiles everything that it touches. When a man was afflicted with leprosy, he was thoroughly and completely defiled. That's what sin is like. It defiles us. Sin makes us morally and spiritually unclean. It corrupts our minds, our motives, our ways. It poisons our entire lives. I don't have the time to read it in Romans chapter 1, but this list of sins that Paul speaks about in terms of how sin utterly depraves us and it just leads us completely astray. Number four, leprosy isolates. The leper was forced to live on the fringes of society. That's exactly what sin does. Sin separates us from God, and sin separates us from each other. Every time we're being ruled by sin, there's always going to be separation, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's with a parent and his child, whether it's in a church. As soon as we are governed by sinful attitudes or sinful thoughts or sinful words or sinful actions, there will always be separation, because that's what sin does. Sin separates. Leprosy is a perfect picture of that. It always separates. And finally, leprosy destines things for the fire. Everything that the leper touched had to be burned. That's the final penalty for sin, isn't it? It's the final penalty for the sinner in his sin. It's the eternal judgment of God in the lake of fire. And so in Bible times, therefore, there was no disease that was regarded with more terror and more fear than the disease of leprosy. Now I want you to look at Luke 17, verse 12 and 13. Look at those two verses. Luke 17, verse 12 and 13. It says, they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Now I think you would agree with me that these 10 men were in a hopeless situation. They were helpless, completely helpless. Their only hope was in Jesus Christ. I mean, the disease of leprosy was literally eating their bodies away. Every single day, they were rotting away. They knew that Jesus Christ was their only hope. They knew that Jesus Christ was their only chance. Maybe they had heard about how Jesus had healed all kinds of diseases. Maybe they heard that. Maybe they had heard about how Jesus had cast out all kinds of demons. Maybe for the very first time in a long time, these 10 men started to feel a little spark of hope coming up inside their hearts. They knew that this was their only chance. They knew that there was no other way out of their dilemma. They knew that there were no cures that they could experience. There was no other solutions. Their faith might be weak, but these men were desperate. Desperate men. They had no other option but to cry out, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Have mercy on us. Show us your grace. I mean, can you see the multitudes that were following Jesus Christ? Can you picture that in your head? Can you picture all the people, the crowds that must have been near Jesus? Can you see the commotion that these 10 men must have stirred up when the people started to realize that there were lepers in their midst? Can you see the crowd beginning to part and pick up those stones as these 10 men are trying to make their way towards Jesus Christ because they want to receive the grace of God in their lives? Can you feel the anger and the fury that the crowd is hurling at these people? These men were undaunted. They knew they had no other place to turn. They weren't going to stop, so they continue to make their way through this angry mob, and they cry out in this loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And I've read that the voice of a person with leprosy is often terribly weakened by their disease. Many of those who study this disease believe that leprosy often resulted in the total failure of vocal ability. And so as a result, it required a great deal of effort for these men to cry out to Jesus Christ to help them. Now I want you to look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. The Bible says, when he saw them, speaking of Jesus, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Now, under the Mosaic law, it would have been quite foolish for any leper to show himself to the priest as long as he remained a leper. I mean, to present yourself as the continuing victim of the dreaded disease of leprosy would have elicited fierce anger and condemnation from these priests, because even the priests themselves could become contaminated by these lepers. So you just wouldn't do something like that. Only when a man had reason to believe that his leprosy had been completely cured did he have the grounds to approach a priest and ask a priest to pronounce this ceremonial pronouncement that he was now fit to live with his family and with his friends. And so Jesus, now you got to picture this, Jesus doesn't heal these guys. What does he say at first? He says, you go and you show yourself to the priest, even while these men were lepers. And so these 10 men had a choice to make. Reason would say something like this: the guy's lost it. I can't go show myself to the priest. I'm still a leper. I thought you were going to do something, Jesus, just to heal me. Reason would say it doesn't make any sense. Reason would say it's just like Naaman dipping himself in the Jordan River 7 times. It just doesn't make any sense. Why would I do something like that? But faith would say, since Jesus told me to do that, He had a reason for telling me to do that. I've got to believe Him. I've got to trust Him. I've got to obey Him. And the Bible says in verse 14, listen, I love these words, that as they went, they were cleansed. They believed. They obeyed. They received. They were healed of this dreaded disease of leprosy. They took Christ at His word. They were cleansed. They were asked to believe that Jesus would do something for them. And those men believed it and they received the benefit. I mean, that took a lot of faith on the part of these men. When they cried out, Jesus, Master, have pity on us, they didn't know how Jesus was going to react. Would He also turn them away in disgust as the others had done? Would Jesus also reject them and call upon His disciples to push Him away and stone them? What would Jesus do? How would Jesus react? But those men didn't allow any of their fears or any of their anxieties or any of their questions deter them from seeking the mercy of Jesus Christ. By faith, they simply called upon His name to be merciful to them, and they obeyed His word, and they did exactly what Jesus told them to do, and the Bible says they were cleansed. Praise God. Now, I know that God doesn't always heal. I know that. I know that. God's ways are mysterious to me. But I think we need to be asking God to heal. I think it's wrong for us not to ask God to heal. And we need to be like these 10 lepers. Lord, have mercy on me and bring healing into my life. We need to be doing that. And I want to ask you this question. Listen to me very carefully. Put yourself in one of these lepers' shoes. You think about everything I just described to you a few minutes ago, about all the physical pain and the rejection and loss of family and all that. Can you imagine the joy that these 10 men must have experienced? Can you imagine the elation that they must have felt? Can you feel it? I mean, this was earth-shattering. It was huge. Not only would they not die, but they also no longer had to be social outcasts. I mean, the man could now go back to his wife. He could go back to that little baby that he held in his hands but hadn't been able to touch for 6 years because of his leprosy. This was amazing grace. Can you imagine the joy that these guys must have felt? Absolutely amazing. Now I want you to take a look at verse 15 and 16. Listen to what it says. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him. And then Luke adds this. And he was a Samaritan. Only one of those 10 men turned back to thank Jesus Christ. You think about all the implications of now being able to go back to your spouse and your kids and your family and your friends and your life, and yet only one of these 10 cured lepers returned to declare and express his gratitude for what the grace of God had done in his life. As I said before, there's so many people who are blind to the many blessings that God daily showers upon us. They don't see God's blessings and they don't feel compelled to thank Him for His blessings. They take so much, but they give so little. Far too often, you and I are so caught up with the gift that we forget the giver. We're so quick on prayer, but we're so slow on praise. We look at all the bad stuff going on in our lives, and we forget to look at the good things that God has done and He is doing in our lives. Now, two times in the text, I need to get back there to Luke 17. Two times in the text, we're told that this man praised God. You see that, first of all, in verse 15. Let me read that. Luke 17 and verse 15. It says this. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. Now look at verse 18. It says this. Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? 10 men prayed, but how many praised? Only one. 10 men prayed the prayer, but only one praised God. And not only did he praise, but the Bible says that he praised God with a loud voice. I mean, his praise was so much more than just something that he felt in the inside. His praise was articulated with his lips. What he felt in his heart was now being expressed in his words. Everybody around him knew that something marvelous and wonderful had just happened to this guy. Others might have been embarrassed by this guy's exuberance, but the guy didn't care. Jesus has just finished healing him. And he wasn't going to be quiet about it. He was going to blow the trumpet as loud as he could. Jesus Christ has just healed me. Can you believe it? If you had seen me 5 minutes ago, I had all these ulcers all over my body. But all of them are gone. They're gone. My fingers are back. My toes are back. I can go back to my family. I want everybody to know what God has done in my
life. He wasn't going to let anybody stop him from doing that. No one. God had healed this man. And His glad praise ought to be on the lips of every single one of us here tonight who's received the grace of God in whatever way that grace of God has been revealed to us, whether it's in salvation, whether it's in provision, whether it's in healing, whatever way, we should be like that one leper who comes back and throws himself down at Jesus' feet and says, "Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful grace in my life." What we feel in our hearts need to be articulated with our lips. We have to make sure that we give our thanks to God. Isn't that what the Bible says? Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Psalm 107, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say it. Those redeemed from the hand of the foe, those He gathered from the lands, from the east and the west and from the north and from the south." Psalm 29, "Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness." Psalm 96 was read to us tonight. "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise His name. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among the peoples." And finally, Psalm 40, verse 1. "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." Not one of us here tonight who's in Jesus Christ can say that I have nothing to praise God for. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Every spiritual blessing is yours. Justification, sanctification, glorification, access into His presence, all of His precious promises that are yes in Jesus Christ. You've got 1,000,000,000 things to praise God for tonight if you're a Christian. His grace poured out in your life every single day. As believers, it is incumbent upon us to praise and glorify God for all of His rich mercies that have been extended towards us in Jesus Christ. Whatever those mercies are, praise God. Now, we looked at our first 2 points. I'm going to conclude with the last point, which is the gratitude that was expected. Look, listen to what Jesus says in verse 17. Tragic, tragic verse. Listen to what He says. "We're not all 10 cleansed. Where are the other 9? That's a very interesting yet tragic question. Listen to me. It is a question that Jesus should never have to ask His church. "We're not all 200 at Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church saved. Where are the other 190? Where are the other 9? Jesus healed 10 lepers, but only one returned to give Him thanks. And that question addresses, I think, a weakness that's common to every single one of us. And that weakness is this: the attitude of ingratitude. The attitude of ingratitude. It is so easy for us to take the blessings of God for granted. We do it every single day of our lives. You know what we are? We murmur. We complain. We look at all the bad stuff that's going on in the world and all the bad stuff that's going on in our lives, and we forget that God has been so good to us. God has been so gracious to us. I mean, you know what, guys? I told you this 100 times, maybe in the last 6 months. I'm going to say it tonight. I just can't get Psalm 23, verse 6 out of my head. Ever since I preached on Psalm 23 about 3 years ago, I just can't get that verse out of my head. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Praise God! Praise God! We are so quick on prayer, but we're so slow on praise. You know, Psalm 103, verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And then it says this, "And forget not all His benefits." That's our problem. We forget. Not only are we thankless people sometimes, we are also thoughtless people. If you and I would only think a little bit more about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, I think we would thank a whole lot more than we do. We need to count our blessings from God. We need to rejoice in them. Ingratitude and a thoughtless and thankless heart simply reveals the fact that you and I have forgotten all the good things that God has done for us. And I want to close with just 2 more statements. Listen to this. The first one is this: the very fact that Jesus Christ asked about these 9 men tells us that it deeply disturbs the heart of our God when the recipients of His grace failed to give Him praise for His goodness. Did you hear that? I'm going to repeat that statement one more time. I think it's very important. The very fact that Jesus asked about these nine men tells us that it deeply disturbs the heart of our God when the recipients of His grace fail to praise Him for His goodness in their lives. Jesus would have never asked that question if it didn't bother His heart. And so the question that lies before each and every one of us tonight is this: who are we like tonight? Are we like the other nine? Or are we like the one who came back, threw himself down at Jesus' feet, and said, "Lord, thank you, not only for saving my soul, but thank you for every single promise I have in Jesus Christ." The happiest people on the face of the earth should be people, as Evelyn said tonight, who are children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Life is hard. Life is hard. Life has got mysteries and questions. Not all of us go through life unscathed, unhurt, not experiencing pain. But we go through life with Jesus Christ standing by our side. We go through life with the promises of God in our right hand, in our left hand. We go through life with the praises of God on our lips. And you know what? When we leave this life, we're going to be with Jesus Christ forever. Is it any better than that? Can you get any better than that? Where are the other nine? I pray that none of us in this room tonight would ever forget to give thanks and praise to God for His goodness. Let's pray. Father, we sing the hymn tonight, "How Can I Say Thanks for the Things You've Done for Me?" Things so undeserved, yet You gave to prove Your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. Father, we thank You and praise You for all the blessings we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, give us the grace to be like that one leper who came back praising God in a loud voice. He didn't care about anybody else around him. He didn't care about whether or not he'd be embarrassed. He came back praising God with a loud voice. He fell at Jesus' feet and he thanked Jesus Christ for His wonderful grace in his life. Lord, I pray that You would make me a man like that. Make me a man who falls down at the feet of Your Son every single day of my life and says, "Lord, thank You for saving my soul. Thank You for being my King. Thank You for being my Lord. Thank You for Your indwelling Spirit. Thank You for Your precious Word. Thank You for Your precious people. Thank You for Your precious promises." Lord, put that hymn of praise on every single one of our lips. Help us leave this place tonight rejoicing in the blessings of God. And make us not be like those nine lepers who went on their way selfishly forgetting, taking but not praising. Father, give us the grace to praise You all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name.